The city of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is bracing for President Trump's first campaign rally in months tomorrow. Coronavirus cases are on the rise in Tulsa, which is also the site of a terrible massacre of black people 99 years ago this month. The Oklahoma Supreme Court is weighing whether to stop the rally from happening. NBC News senior politics editor Beth Fooey joins us now. Hi, Beth.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's start with this rally. There are the reasons we just talked about, but the Trump campaign has been pushing ahead. This is going to be an indoor rally with thousands of people. What is the benefit for President Trump of pushing ahead with this despite all the concerns?
Yeah, well, President Trump really needs a morale boost at this point. He's been out of his favorite venues, which are these big arena rallies, as you know, for quite some time, ever since the coronavirus took hold in this country. And they really give him a lot of energy. They give him a lot of verve to keep going, to remind himself that he has a very large throng of fans that will show up for him anywhere and anywhere and cheer him on. We've seen lots of polling out in the last couple of weeks showing President Trump falling behind Joe Biden. Fairly significantly in a lot of battleground states, in addition to nationally. We know from our reporting that President Trump is quite concerned about the polling that indicates that he's got problems winning a second term. So going out and getting in front of these fans is something that he wants to do just to get that energy back. But as you point out, Jeremy, it's a very fraught situation. We've seen record numbers of people coming up with infections, both in Oklahoma and in the city of Tulsa, where he's going to be. We've seen a lot of folks who are going to show up on the streets probably to protest, in addition to all those folks who want to go to the rally. Mm-hmm. That could be a potentially combustible situation. And President Trump this morning tweeted threatening protesters, saying that basically he would not put up with anything that smacks of bad behavior. So we could be in for quite a weekend.
On the Democratic side, as we look toward the election about 4.5 months from now, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar has withdrawn her name from consideration to be Vice President Joe Biden's running mate and says it's time for a black woman or woman of color to be named to the ticket. How much pressure does that add on Biden to now pick a woman of color?
Well, we know that Vice President Biden has been getting a lot of input from Democrats that, especially now, given the upheaval that we've seen around issues of race, that he really ought to pick a woman of color. And he certainly does have women of color on his list. We know that Senator Kamala Harris is on his list. We know Congresswoman Val Demings from Florida is on his list, and likely Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. But keep in mind, Jeremy, there are other women on his list who are not black or African-American. And we know from our reporting that Vice President Biden really feels strongly that whomever he chooses has to be somebody who could take over at a moment's notice as president, and is somebody that he could work with as president in the Oval Office, and that ultimately those will probably be the factors that help decide the outcome of this competition to be his number two.
Right. As somebody who was vice president for 8 years, he knows exactly what the job entails. So he's looking at a lot of factors there. Meanwhile, we had these Supreme Court decisions this week. The president tweeted this morning that he will soon submit enhanced papers on DACA after the Supreme Court found that he improperly tried to end the DACA program that shields young immigrants known as Dreamers from deportation. How hard is he going to push on DACA at this point leading up to the election?
Yeah, it's so unclear. I mean, he did send out that tweet, but of course, President Trump doesn't always follow through on things that he says he's going to do in his tweets. It's a difficult situation. I mean, even the most concerned folks about immigration and illegal immigration we've seen in polling typically say that they believe Dreamers, these kids who were brought to the country as children by their parents and have lived here basically their whole lives, are people who should be able to stay. So President Trump doesn't have that big of a base to work off of in terms of trying to make this a helpful political issue for him. There's just no evidence that anybody outside of the sort of most hardcore immigration rights opponents are for preventing these Dreamers from staying in the country. So it's more than likely that President Trump will step back from this issue.
Let me just finally ask you, and we just have about 40 seconds left here, about the John Bolton book. Now, the Justice Department is trying to block it from publication, although most of its revelations are already out. How is this all playing out in Washington?
Yeah, I mean, basically, the argument to keep it from being published is pretty much out the door, as you mentioned, Jeremy. I mean, the book has already been shipped some 200,000 copies, according to the publisher, Simon & Schuster. And we know, we've seen, you know, major news organizations all over the country basically report all the major findings. So at this point, it seems more symbolic to prevent the release of this book, and probably unsuccessful. But obviously, it's what the Justice Department is doing is playing to an audience of one. President Trump, who's mm-hmm. quite upset about this book.
Well, and many people have said, if John Bolton had so much to say, why didn't he say it when the House Democrats asked him to testify in the impeachment inquiry? But
exactly.
I'm sure he'll be asked that in his interviews. Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC News and MSNBC. Thank you.
Thank you.